This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is Dave Kamides, a freelance journalist writing articles on alternative fuels and alternative fuel vehicles for Edmunds.com. Dave created and teaches a course on renewable energy and sustainability to middle school and high school students throughout Los Angeles County, has converted his car to run on used vegetable oil, and has a 2.8-kilowatt solar system installed on his house. For the last 16 years, Dave has worked as a director and cameraman in Hollywood and has won two Emmys, one for his work on the television show ER. He is now using his connections in the film industry to get the word out about conservation and living a more sustainable lifestyle. Dave Kamides is here today to tell us about his project, 365 Days of Trash, which began in January of this year and will last through December 31st. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, how are you, Diane? Thanks for having me.
What led you to undertake your 365 Days of Trash project and decide to save your trash for a year?
You know, I think probably about last October or so, I'm not sure the exact date, but I was talking with a friend. I've been involved in environmental stuff for a while, and we talk a lot. And we were talking about throwing things away, what away was and how that was such a convenient moniker, because it really is akin to throwing it over your shoulder and forgetting about it, because the reality is we put things in our garbage cans in the kitchen or wherever, and they just sort of nicely disappear, or out at the curb, they nicely disappear. And so the question was, you know, what's away and where's away and how much is there at away? And it sort of became, well, if away was your backyard, you'd probably change your habits pretty quickly. And then somehow it became, well, what if I put it in the basement? And then January 1st, I found myself putting everything in the basement.
What rules did you devise for your project? How did you decide which trash to save?
It's a good question. It took me a while to sort of figure out the rules, and I did them a little bit ahead of the time, and then I tweaked them as I went. I'm married and I have two small children, 3 and 6, and I decided right off the bat their stuff wasn't going to be included because I didn't want to sort of put these parameters on them, but I also just couldn't with a 3 and a 6-year-old. So the question was, how do I figure out what's mine and what's theirs? So the general feeling is if waste is created, and I should say I include all my recycling in this project as well, so if waste or recycling is created, I sort of look at it and I say, is this created because of me? And if it is, obviously it gets cataloged and goes down in the basement. And then if it's the family, I look at it and I say, well, you know, did I partake of this and would it exist if I wasn't here? So like if we're all eating something that was made with, say, pasta that came from a bag, that bag is obviously mine. So those are like the bigger rules. And then because I figured that, you know, you're going to miss some things over the course of a year, I also decided that whenever I'm out alone with my girls, who again are 3 and 6, because I'm making their decisions for them to some extent of what, you know, we buy or what we eat or whatever, any waste that they create while I'm out alone with them will also be mine, and I'll put that in the basement as well. So if you look through the list, you can see lots of lollipops and things like that. But that way I figured it's sort of like, you know, it kind of rounded out the curve, if you will.
Do you bring home all the trash that you generate outside your home?
To the best of my abilities. As a matter of fact, when I go on vacation, I mean, we went on vacation the third week of January. My wife and I took our first ever vacation. We went to Mexico. And, you know, I just started this project, and as we were packing, I went, oh, my gosh, I have to bring everything home with me. And so I actually brought an extra suitcase and filled it up and brought all that back with me, which was a little easier then. Now that they're charging for extra suitcases, it's a little ironic that I'm going to have to pay extra money sometimes to bring trash back.
What did you end up bringing back from your vacation?
You know, actually, we were very lucky. We went to, like, an all-ecological resort, which is, like, all solar-powered and everything. It was really amazing. And all of the food that they cook there is fresh, and it's either grown there or from the ocean right there. So there wasn't a lot as far as that. So truthfully, the main thing that I brought was water bottles, ironically enough, which I never, ever, ever drink out of. But I talked it over with my wife, and I said, you know, the last thing I want on our vacation in Mexico is for me to get some sort of bug. So I think I'll sort of take one for the team there. And so I brought back a lot of water bottles. But ironically enough, of the whole year so far, I think those are all the water bottles I have down there because I don't drink out of water bottles.
At home, how do you handle food and other organic waste?
Food and organic waste, that was one of the things that I did pre-think quite a bit, because obviously, you know, when you think about throwing things out, especially in the kitchen, you think, like, you know, oh, it smells and this and that. And the reality is that comes down to food scraps or leftovers or whatever. And so I had, you know, read a little bit about vermicomposting, which is worm composting. And I looked into it, and I said, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. And I got a worm composter. It's like a little bin. And if you go onto the website, you can click on the right side on worms, and you can see videos of it and whatnot. And so everything except basically meat and dairy, and along with meat is obviously fish and poultry, can go into the worm composter, and they eat it up and turn it into amazing fertilizer. And the amazing thing is I essentially have 6 months' worth of food scraps down there in the basement in this worm composter. I mean, I've cleaned it out a couple times to get the castings that they create, and it doesn't smell at all. It's unbelievable. So that was an amazing thing because, you know, 50% of all the edible food in the United States is thrown away every single day, statistically. And a lot of that's obviously restaurants and whatnot, but a lot of it's stores. And you just think, first of all, that shouldn't happen. But secondly, if all that could go into worm composters, wow, we'd have like an amazing resource there.
You are over halfway through your year of saving trash. How much has accumulated so far?
Well, trash-wise, I am at just about 30 pounds. And when I say trash, I mean that stuff that is going to go to a landfill, or it may go somewhere else, but it basically is going to be thrown away, quote-unquote. I have a lot more recycling and whatnot. But compared to the national average statistically at 6 months would be over 700 pounds. So I don't think I would have ever been at 700 pounds to begin with because I'm a little bit of a non-consumerist by nature. But I know by choices I've been making, I've cut it down significantly from that. And I'm actually pretty psyched about that. The other thing that I've noticed, I've just done some little calculations recently, and at the end of the year, I'll probably put together a graph or something. I noticed that most of the trash that I created was probably in the first 2 or 3 months as I sort of like had the learning curve, if you will, of, you know, how to buy and what to buy and whatnot. And that since then, it's been getting exponentially less and less every month. So it's interesting because it took me a little while to learn it, and now it seems to be sort of leveling off.
Will you give an overview of what is now in your basement?
I don't have the stats in front of me, and if you go to the website, they're on there. But I can tell you there's like two boxes, and there are pictures, too. You can see the pictures. There's two boxes of trash. That's the 30 pounds of trash. There's the worm composter. There's the sort of big visual thing is all the bottles are kind of lining the stairs up to the main house because I got to the point where they were sort of taking up the entire floor. And actually, we had that earthquake like 2 weeks ago, and my first thought was, oh, boy, I hope they didn't all just go down the stairs. But we were lucky they didn't. And then I have sort of a very large cardboard box of paper, which is the largest amount that comes out of usually any house. Is, you know, junk mail and newspapers and you name it. Oh, the worms eat a lot of that, and I've been able to actually almost eradicate my junk mail, which I've been pretty psyched about. But that's still the most. And then I have a plastic bag of bags, which is all the plastic bags, not from stores because I don't take those. We use reusable bags, but from, like I said earlier, like a pasta bag or something like that. And then the bag of cardboard boxes. And then there are two boxes of sort of miscellaneous recyclable products that don't fit into any of those other categories.
In viewing the piles of trash that have accumulated so far, is there anything that surprises you that's different than what you might have expected at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely learned some things. I mean, one thing that I've learned that's kind of funny is if my kids have, like, chips, I can't not eat them. So anytime that my kids have chips, the bag ends up in the basement as mine because I just can't not eat them. I actually noticed, and a lot of people have mentioned this, that I drink more beer than I thought I did. And a lot of these things, like, let's say, for instance, obviously, the beer is actually a good point. I could easily cut that out. I don't need beer by any means. But the point of this experiment was really I want to try to continue to live my life relatively quote-unquote normally and see how much I can cut it down. Because if I cut everything out and I live like a monk in a cave, nothing against monks in caves, then I don't think a lot of people would be able to learn from that. But, you know, if they look at it and they go, oh, he's still drinking beer and he's still eating chips and he's still eating the occasional cookie and whatever, you know, it sort of brings it home. So I think mostly it's been interesting to see what I eat more than anything else.
I'm Diane Horn, and we're speaking with Dave Comides about his project, 365 Days of Trash. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What have been some of the challenges in your efforts to save trash?
Well, the first challenge right off the bat, and this was like the first day, it was the first hour of the first day, was not throwing things away. Because I didn't realize until I stopped, because nobody thinks about it really, most people don't. I didn't realize until I stopped how trained we are and how sort of you don't realize when you're throwing things away. You just do it instinctively. It's instinctive. And so there were a couple times the first week, I would say, where I would actually throw something out, and then I'd go, oh, wait a minute, or I'd stop just before I'd actually have to go back and get it, because that was a big thing. And the most interesting thing of the whole project to me has been how easily at first it was hard, but now I've been able to retrain myself to not do something that I've done for the last 39 years of my life, and I was taught to do, like, you know, throw things away, clean up after yourself, whatnot, recycle, X, Y, and Z. And that's been the most interesting part to me, because as I talk to people, you know, like, take plastic bags, for instance. Getting rid of plastic bags in your life is not tough. The tough part is remembering to bring a reusable bag. So it's not about, like, oh, these magic bullet solutions. It's more about retraining yourself. And so what I try to tell people is, like, if I can retrain myself to never throw anything out, doing something much smaller and easier is actually, it's easier to retrain yourself. One of the really interesting things to me that has come out of this that I didn't expect is that my children, who are 3 and 6, you know, they know what I'm doing, and, you know, on whatever level they understand the concepts behind it, but they get the fact that I'm not throwing anything out and that things go in the basement. And the big thing that they're really into are the worms, and let's give this to the worms and whatever. And interestingly enough, when I'm out with them, if we go out and I've forgotten, you know, sometimes I'll carry a towel with me when you wash your hands to wipe your hands off so we don't have to use a paper towel. If I've forgotten that and they use a paper towel, they will take it and turn and hand it to me and say, here, Daddy, this is for the worms. So just by being around me and liking the idea of feeding the worms and knowing the worms can eat this, they don't think that paper towels go in the garbage anymore. They think that they go into the worm composter. So it just shows you, if you start on a young enough level, you can, like, retrain, not even retrain, you can train them to think that this is normal, and just think about how much of a better world that would be if everybody sort of started on that line.
Well, you've been alluding to this already, but how has your perspective changed so far from January when you started saving your trash?
I'd say my perspective hasn't changed, but maybe it's been bolstered in that, you know, bottom line is, when you think about garbage, your waste stream is directly tied into your consumption stream. There's no question about it. And that's why in the United States, we're at over 4.5 pounds a day of waste per American, because we are such a consumption-oriented society. And, you know, people talk to me about, like, well, so you must not buy anything or this or that or the other. And the reality is, I just try to make really intelligent choices. We try to buy things in bulk. We try to buy things with less packaging. We try to buy things in compostable packaging. We go to farmers markets. And other people have said to me, so you never buy electronic stuff? And it's like, well, I don't buy a lot because that's just my nature. But when I do, the first thing I do is I go to Craigslist or something like that. I try to buy it used because that keeps me out of the consumption stream. So I think the perspective is, it's not necessarily how we live quite as much as it is how we buy. And, you know, I've even worked with a couple of friends and said, look, if you go to the store, before you just instinctively buy the thing you always did, look on the shelf and see if there are any other products that are exactly the same. And if they're in better packaging, go for those. And a number of them have done that. And a number of them have started using farmers markets, which are great for a lot of reasons, or CSAs, where they deliver food to a local stop and you can pick it up. And I think that these are things that are not, like, they're not infinitely harder. On some levels, they may be more expensive. On some levels, they're less expensive. But they're just a different way of thinking. And, you know, the other thing that I would say, actually, now that I think about it, is the big thing of all of this, because so much of the waste that we're talking about is packaging. And so much of the packaging, especially when it comes to food, comes down to convenience. Because we all want pre-made things, and we all want stuff that can be heated up quickly, and all that stuff comes in packaging. And so a lot of it is just about planning ahead. And it may not mean that in the long run it takes you that much longer, but it just means you have to pre-think it a little bit, which I don't think is probably a lot to ask compared to filling up big holes in the ground with garbage.
Earlier, you mentioned that on a monthly basis, the amount of trash that you had been generating has been going down, but has the type of trash item changed also during the course of your project?
Well, I think, like I said, the first couple months definitely were probably different than the last couple of months. I think at this point, I may have sort of leveled out to a sort of status quo, if you will, because I've kind of gone through what my purchasing habits are and figured out what I'm buying and where I'm buying them and whatnot. But, I mean, I'll give you two examples right off the bat. The first week, like I said, we have two kids, and we tend to drink milk, and I used to get it in the plastic gallon jugs. And the first week, I put one of those down there, and I did a little mental math and looked at it and multiplied it by, like, 40 or so and thought, oh, boy, I'm in big trouble just on the plastic jugs alone. And so I went to the store, and I looked around, and I realized that you can still get, at least near us, you can still get milk in glass bottles. And it's a little bit more expensive, and it's obviously heavier and a little bit more of a pain to lug back home. But we do that now, and it's much more local than the other stuff. So as far as the footprint involved in getting it to us, it's less. And I think it's probably fresher for that reason. So there are benefits to it. But as a result, so that's completely been cut out. So we don't use those anymore. And then we bring the glass bottle back to the store and they reuse it. And then, you know, another thing was I tend to drink a lot of coffee, and coffee comes in those metallic bags, you know, that you can't recycle, at least most of them, and need to be thrown away. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, there's got to be some better way. And so actually I went to the local Whole Foods near us and went middle of the day, there weren't a lot of people there, and talked to the coffee guy and said, you know, this is what I'm doing and what do you think I can do? And we thought about it for a minute, and then suddenly he just went, wait a minute, buy it in bulk, get one of our bags, buy it in bulk, fill up the bag, take it home, put it in a container that'll keep it fresh, and then just fold up the bag. Then what I do is I put the bag actually near our door where we get all our bags when we're going to the store. And then the next time I need coffee, I just reuse that bag. So I'm sort of down to one bag for coffee for the entire year. So that's a great example of, you know, it's not a massive change in the way that I do things, and it's not taking me any more time, but it just requires a teeny bit of thinking. And now that we do it all the time, I pretty much never forget that. So like I said, it's really about retraining yourself, and little by little you sort of hack away at it, and you can change things.
What are some additional examples of trash prevention strategies you have devised as a result of your project?
Well, I was probably on this line before, but I've mentioned it a couple times since, but plastic bags, definitely. We've gotten completely rid of plastic bags, and we have reusable bags. And even for produce, we have these little mesh bags that we use, so we don't use plastic bags at all anymore. That's a big one right there. I'm trying to go through and think. Like I said, we get a lot of stuff at the farmer's market, whereas we used to go to Trader Joe's, which is great, but Trader Joe's, like, for instance, their fruit and stuff like that, which drives me crazy because, to me, it's so sort of not what I think their store is about, but it's all packaged. And they've started doing compostable packaging, which is great, but as compared to the farmer's market, that's just kind of a better way to go. Another thing right off the bat is I don't eat meat, but I do eat fish. And we used to get fish at the store, and it usually came... Either if you got it fresh, they'd wrap it up in that sort of plastic-coated paper wrap, if you will, or if you get it already packaged, it comes in the sort of styrofoam with the plastic around it, all of which is just terrible packaging, and you can't really deal too well with most of it, and a lot of it you can't even recycle because it's got the fish smell on it. And so I looked at that, and I said, well, there's a fish seller, like, right near us, and went to them, and it's actually cheaper and it's fresher. And what I talked to them about, which they've been fine with, and they kind of know me now, is I take a Tupperware with me, I give it to them, I tell them what I want, they put it in that, and then I bring it home, and it's actually easier because then I can put seasoning and whatnot in there and put it in the fridge and actually bake it right in that dish. So that's actually saved me time, money, and it's better quality. Bread, we used to buy, you know, our kids eat sandwiches and whatnot. Bread we used to buy usually at the store in loaves and whatever, and I've started going to the bakery nearby, which happens to be right next to the fish guy, and get loaves of bread over there, which is great because I know them now and they're a local business, so I support them and I think it's better and fresher. And I bring mesh bags, like cloth bags, give it to them, they put the bread in there, and so there's no packaging there. So just little things like that. And also, like, one of the things we looked at right off the bat was we send lunches to school for our kids, and I think I remember reading that the average school kid, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like 55 pounds or 60 pounds of waste every year just from school lunches, because most people, because it's, again, convenient and easy, will send like that juice box, a lot of which are actually recyclable and most people don't know, but, and like the chips bag, and then they'll put a sandwich in the bag and the bag will get thrown out and all this stuff. So we looked at that right off the bat. We're just like, oh, even though it's not part of my deal, it's just not good. So we now send them with a lunchbox, and we found these little, they're a little, ironically, they're plastic, but they sort of look like a sandwich almost, and it's a little sort of Tupperware thing. And so you can put a sandwich in there and close it, and then we got some reusable little Tupperware kind of things that we put chips and things in, and then we got some, I think we got them Sig water bottles that they drink out of, reusable water bottles. So all their stuff goes with them, and all of it comes back, and there's very little waste from that. So the bottom line is, I don't actually think most of this is rocket science stuff. It's just sort of going, okay, I need to think critically about what I'm doing, and I need to think differently about what I'm doing, and be serious about it, and I'll come up with the answers.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Dave Komides. Our topic is his project, 365 Days of Trash. What feedback have you gotten about your project from friends and others who find out about the project?
Feedback's been interesting. I mean, whenever I tell people what I'm doing, there's always the look. There's like that first moment. And then there's the question of, does it smell? And I sort of talked to him about the worms and whatnot. The feedback I've gotten mostly has been really good. I mean, I've been really amazed because when I started this, I really thought that the school kids that I teach would get something from it, and that I would learn something from it, and my wife would learn something from it, and her friends could make fun of me for it and whatnot. And I really put the blog up just to keep track of it. But I've gotten feedback from all over the world. I mean, you know, I've talked to radio shows in South Africa and Australia and Canada and Europe and Germany. I mean, all over the place, which has kind of blown my mind. And the interesting thing is that you find so many people who are just as frustrated. And obviously, of the entire population, I'm sure this is a small percentage, but it's still a good feeling, who are so frustrated with the same problems and have been able to look at what I've done and gone, okay, that's kind of easy. Because my thing was like, you know what, let me do the work and figure out a solution and give it to you. And if you think there's a better solution, let me know. And if it is, I'll adapt to that. But it's sort of like, you know, a big back and forth. I think the best feedback I've gotten ever was probably the second or third month. I'm on a local Los Angeles radio show called K-Rock at the beginning of every month as this character that they've named Sustainable Dave after my website, sustainabledave.org. And I got an email from a guy who said, you know, I heard you on the radio this morning, and I want to let you know I voted for Bush twice, and I'd vote for him again, and I'm voting for McCain, and I think global warming is garbage, and everything you said makes sense to me, and I'm going home, and I'm getting rid of plastic bags and plastic water bottles. And I thought, to me, that's the world, because now there's the guy, he's in a circle that maybe I might not be involved in, and his friends are looking at it going, well, you know, that doesn't make sense to do what we're doing. Let's change that. So the feedback's pretty much been positive. There are a couple of people on the street, I think, who probably want to move away, but that's okay. Hopefully they won't.
What do you plan to do with your trash at the end of the year?
What I'm going to do with it at the end of the year is the big question. I mean, the recycling will go to the recycling plant. That's kind of a no-brainer right there. But, you know, the bottom line is it'll probably be less than it would have been had I not done this. As far as the garbage, we've had a couple of interesting things. One person mentioned putting it all on eBay, sort of as a performance art piece, which I may do and just not accept the people's money, but just to see what would happen to it. Someone else actually mentioned taking it to a waste-to-energy plant where they cleanly incinerate it and create energy, and then taking the ashes and, I don't know, putting it in some sort of cube or something like that. And someone else mentioned giving it to a couple artists that I know who may be interested in turning it into an art project, which I'm not an artist, so I don't understand that. But if someone's interested, I'm interested. So we'll see what happens to it. I mean, ideally, after all this, it would actually be nice if it didn't end up in a landfill. But there's also something to the fact that maybe it ends up there as well. Maybe there's poetic justice to that. I don't know. So I'll have to tackle that one January 1st. We'll see.
What do you hope your year of saving trash will accomplish?
As far as accomplishing over the course of the year, at the end of it, I've already accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, which is I have a better understanding of what my impact is, and I have a much better understanding of how to minimize that. On the bigger level, I want other people to sit up and start thinking about this, and I think that's already happened, and change their ways in whatever way they can. You know, one of the things that I always talk to people is people say like, oh, but you know, if you're like saving all your trash and you drive on vegetable oil and this and that, it's like so much, I can't begin to do that. And I always point out to them, look, first of all, there are people who put what I'm doing to shame. So there's levels of everything. And it's not about an all or nothing thing. It's just about looking at what you do and taking it one step forward. Like, you know, I use plastic bags, but I don't use plastic water bottles. Well, now stop using plastic bags, or, you know, just going to the next level. So hopefully if everybody takes it to the next notch, that would be a significant difference right there. And I think it would make a big difference worldwide. As far as what's going to happen January 1st, we're actually going to be creating a huge video platform. I work in the film industry, so I have friends who are helping me where we're going to have video clips on everything under the sun. It'll just be 3 to 5 minute little clips that hopefully people will be able to watch and find out everything they want to know about compact fluorescence or solar panel arrays on their roofs or driving on vegetable oil or plastic bags or whatever. So the idea for me is about all of this is find the information, try to get it to people in an easily digestible and sometimes whimsical manner so it's not as hard to watch, and hopefully convince them to actually make a change. And the thing that I've found that works the best so far, and I don't know that I did this by design, but it seems to help, is to not be judgmental and to realize that everybody has their limitations and we can all only do what we can do. But I think for the most part, you know, Harry Truman once said, give Americans the facts and they'll do the right thing. And I really think that that's accurate. I think if you just show people the problems out there, and show them some solutions, most people really want to be part of the solution and not be part of the problem.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, the simple message, I think, would be consume less, conserve more. Think about your actions. Think about your choices. Think about the things you're buying. And just recognize that the way that we've always done something isn't absolutely the best, and there are usually better ways. If they want some concrete things, just right today say, I'm never going to use another plastic bag. As I understand it, Seattle's going to be putting a tax on bags January 1st, and that's, to me, a great thing. I know there are some people who are going to be upset about it, because there always are, but if you look at Ireland, who started that in the first year, they got rid of 90% of all their plastic bags, which are a big problem for the environment on a lot of levels. So that one hopefully should be easy, but then say, I'm never going to use another plastic water bottle. And if they want one that's really, to me, kind of not that hard, and everybody will love this, if they go to the website and on the right-hand side, there's a little labels cloud. If they click on junk mail, there's a full rundown of how to get rid of all your junk mail. And there's an easy way to do it that'll probably cost you $20 a year, and there's a little more work way to do it that'll cost you nothing, but both will work. And that's something that it uses resources, it destroys trees, it destroys water, it's a pain to everybody, nobody wants it, it creates waste, and it's just, we should just get rid of it altogether. So the bottom line is just not be part of the status quo and shake it up a little bit, do things a little differently and start thinking a little smarter.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Dave.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We have just been speaking with Dave Komides about his project, 365 Days of Trash. For more information, check on the web at www.365daysoftrash.com. Again, that's 365daysoftrash.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.